Today's Shir Masechta, Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Dalet. We will begin on Daf Chaf Dalet, Amar Aleph, at the top line, Kama Hir Goiva, Ulaayin Hayanaitim. As we learned in our Mishnah, the Edim, the witnesses who came to say that they saw the new moon, were interrogated by Bezdin. And the Gemara, and the question they were asked with Hama Goiva, how high in the sky was the moon, Ulaayin Hayanaita, and what direction was it pointed. Tana Chada, says the Gemara, we learned in one Braisa, Litzvoina, that if he said that he saw the moon to the sun's north, then Dvarav Kayamim, he obviously is saying the truth. Lidraima, but he said he saw the new moon to the south of the sun, Lidraimaklum, we don't pay attention to what he said. Ask the Gemara Tanya Ipcha, but haven't we learned just the opposite? Where this Bryce says Ladroima, if he says he saw the moon to the south of the sun, Dvar of Kayamam, if he said it Latsoin Alayamaklum, so how are we able to reconcile these obviously contradictory Bryces? Answers the Gemara Laikasha. Kamim Mysochama Kam Mysogishamim. There's a difference between the summer and the winter. That means, as Rashi explains, the sun always comes up on the east side and it always sets in the west. And it goes across the sky from east to west in towards the south. And the arc of the sun, the angle of the sun is towards the east. However, the exact point in the east and the west of the sky where the sun goes down and goes up, aren't the same all year round. That means if one were to make a line from him standing in the middle and an exact line, him, the east and west being on the two sides of where he's standing, he'll notice that in the summer, the sun comes up on the northern side of the sky, travels around until it goes down at the northernmost area on the west side. And that represents the longest day in the summer. As the days get shorter, the sun comes up on the southern side of the sky and goes down on the southern side of the sky. That's the shortest day of the year. And what the Gemara is saying is that the location, as we learned in our previous year, of the moon is directly related to the location of the sun. So if the person in the summer said that the sun was coming up in the south and the moon behind it was obviously incorrect, because as we just said, the sun comes up in the summer on the south side. And the same, if he said in the winter that the sun came up in the north, he would be, and the moon behind it would be incorrect, because in the winter, the sun comes up on the southern side. And that's what the Mishnah meant to say, that those are the kind of questions that Bezdin, who had this understanding of the path of the sun, and of course, if you have understanding of the path of the sun, you will have an understanding of the path of the moon. If they saw that his testimony was factually incorrect, his edus was not accepted. The next question we discussed was regarding the height of the moon. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Echer Omer, if one person, one of the witnesses says, Gevoy Shtei Mados, that it looks like, Mados was a stick with which they used to lead the animals. And he said that the sun looked like it was the height, twice the height of this Marda. Vecher Omer, and another aid said, it was Sholosh Mados, the height of three. Because it's not considered a significant discrepancy, this is not an exact amount, and since it's not an exact amount, it's the kind of mistake that could be understood. However, if Echer Amah Shalosh, Ve'echer Amah Chamisha, if one said three and one said five, then Eidosim B'Teila, because that's too much of a discrepancy. And as Ritva says, it's not specifically three and five. It would be two and four, since there's such a significant discrepancy, whenever we have a significant discrepancy, we can't accept this testimony as being a consistent testimony. So sort of Tori Evans says, why is this considered a significant discrepancy? Ask the Tori Evans, why don't we say that the one who said two, the one that said three meant to say four, and the one that said five also meant to say four, and therefore each one was only making a mistake of one mardeya. As we just learned, such a mistake is considered a legitimate mistake. And since such a mistake is considered a legitimate mistake, we have a way of explaining both of their testimony without being so quick as to disqualify the testimonies. So the Tori Evans says, indeed, the type of mistake where each one just was one mardeya off is not considered, as we've been learning, a significant error. But says the Tori Evans, in order to explain this situation, what we would need to say is that they both made mistakes. And attributing that both Adam made a mistake is something that we don't do. Avil, says the Gemara, Mustafa and Leida Sacheris, that if each one made a mistake, the three and five mistake, as we just learned. So these two Adam cannot be combined, because there's not saying the same thing. But let's say the aid that says three, there's a different aid that comes and says three. So now we have two Adam that are saying the exact same thing. So the fact that at the beginning he was disqualified because he cannot combine with the aid that said five doesn't mean that he's permanently disqualified. He's only disqualified to the degree that he can't be a peer with the other person who's saying something so significantly different than he is, but that he could combine with someone else, he could still combine. However, if that will be the case, say Rachroinim, the other aid, so an example that we gave, one aid said three, the other said five, and now we have another witness who says three, so we have two witnesses who say three, so these two witnesses combine. Now, how will we treat the witness that said five? There are some achronims that suggest that this aid is permanently disqualified. It's quite clear that this person was saying something which wasn't true, because we have two witnesses who are saying three. He said five, so he's completely disqualified as an aid shakran, as a witness who's saying something not true. There are, however, other achrayim that say, when somebody comes in and says something which is very clear, how you could say what you saw, and what he saw was what he said is discredited, so then the halach is he remains permanently discredited. Here, these are the kind of mistakes that could be understood. It's not an exact science, as we said, and although in the case of saying testimony for this new month, we cannot accept his testimony, it doesn't mean that he's permanently disqualified as an aid, that we declare him to be someone who says a lie. Tana Banarino b'mayim, if they said that we saw the deflection of the moon in the water, Reino b'ashoshes, we saw it through glass, Reino b'oven, we saw it through the clouds, Eimi Eden love. In all of these cases, they can't say Eidus. Chetshi b'mayim, chetshi b'oven, or even if they saw, just said they saw part of it in the water, part of the through the clouds, chetshi b'ashoshes, in all these cases, they are disqualified. So when we speak about Reino b'ashoshes, there's a very fundamental question amongst the Poskim: what is the definition of Reino b'ashoshes? Is the definition of Reino b'ashoshes that they saw it through a glass? And if that would be the case, the Shas Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, Chelik Aleph Simkuf Chavov, discusses a situation where a chalitza was done through, and the Dayanim only saw the chalitza done through a glass. Would it be considered a valid chalitza? Or
the Shvash Yaakov actually says, the same question would come up if somebody saw, if a dayan or an aide saw something only because he's wearing eyeglasses. What is the definition of Reinu Ba'ashashas? If it means, as the simple definition means, that you saw it through the glass, so then the halacha would be that a dayan who saw something through a glass window, or a dayan who saw something through eyeglasses, an aide that saw something through eyeglasses, would be disqualified. But the Shvus Yaakov, at the end, says that that's not the definition of the of Arena Bashashas. But he says that the Brikei Yosef means that says the definition of Reinu Derech Hashoshes means that he saw a reflection. He did not see the moon directly. He saw it only through a reflection. And therefore, the Paiskim are much more lenient, and they say that somebody could get an aliyah to the Sefer Torah, even though he's an individual who wears eyeglasses. A dayan who sees something through a glass window can be still considered valid to say edus, or valid to be a dayan, or the same issue would come up that regarding Kiddush HaChodesh, Kiddush Levana, that we say Kiddush Levana. So of course the Paiskim say that it's preferable to say the Kiddush Levana outdoors, not through a window. But if there's a situation where the person is confined to a bed or anything like that, the halacha would allow us then under those circumstances to say Kiddush Levana through a window. Ask the Gemara, Hashta Kula Amrit Loi, if somebody saw the entire moon through the window or through the reflection, Amrit Loi, we say they're disqualified, Chetzi Mebayei. So of course, if he only saw part of the moon, he should certainly be disqualified. Says the Gemara Hachikamer. This is the way to understand what the Bryce is teaching us. Chetzi b'mayim, chetzi b'rukiya. He saw half of the moon in the water, in the reflection in the water, and half in the sky. Or chetzi b'avim, chetzi b'rukiya. He saw part of the moon through the cloud, and part of it clearly in the sky. Chetzi b'ashashas, chetzi b'rukiya. Ein me'idim, in all these cases, they're still disqualified. Why they're still disqualified? Because since he didn't see the entire moon in the way he's supposed to see it, even though he saw part of the moon, the halacha is that that's not considered a proper sighting of the moon. Tana Rabbanan, Re'inua. If the Eidim come and said that we saw the moon, and Shuv Lo Re'inua, and then they said we then didn't see it, Emei Inan Lav, they can't say testimony. Ask the Gemara, Kol Heichel Chazal of Azli, is one required to constantly see the moon? If you saw the moon and you had the proper sighting that you could say the proper testimony, that should be sufficient. Amar Baya, Hachikama, Reinu Me'aleinu, they were walking and they said, we thought we saw the moon. That means we weren't really paying attention to see the moon. We thought that the moon was visible. And then, since we caught that glimpse, we thought shav the lorina merdatenu. Now we want to pay attention to look at the moon. V'lorinua. And then when we try to pay attention to seeing the moon, Amy Eden Love, not v'lorinu. We couldn't find it. So in that case, says the Brisa, Amy Eden Love, they cannot say testimony to the new moon. Why not? My Tama says the Gemara, Ema Kavisa de Eva Ba'almu de Chazi. We have to be concerned that the first time when they saw something without any intention to seeing it, it really that wasn't that they saw the moon. They saw some sort of a reflection in the sky. And that's why, unless they paid attention and really meant to see the moon, and then saw the moon, anything else cannot be considered a valid testimony to the new moon. Rav Bezdin, Rosh Bezdin Oymer Mekudesh, the Rosh Bezdin, after the Edom say that they saw the new moon, and Bezdin accepts their testimony, so the Rosh Bezdin announces Mekudesh, that the month is Mekudesh, V'kol Am Oynem Achra Mekudesh Mekudesh, and everybody after hearing that announcement, May Beder Bezdin says Mekudesh V'kudesh. So I saw that the Kedushas Levi explains, why is it important that the audience who's standing there in the Beis Din should say, Mekudesh, Mekudesh. So he says, the Pasuk says, V'yisgadeshtem, V'yisem kedoshim, ki kodesh ani Hashem. So he says, there was once a king who had three crowns. Two of those crowns he gave to his son, and one he held on to himself. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Kedusha to Klal Yisrael, and he gave two shares of the Kedusha to Klal Yisrael, and one share he gave keeps for himself. As we say every day in the Tefillah of Ol Tzion Goyal, we say, Kaddish B'Shmei Meroy Me'Law. There's one Kedusha that's left in Shemayim. And then we say, Kaddish Al Ar Ovi Gevurtei, Kaddish La'olam Omay Omaya. One Kedusha is in Shemayim, the second Kedusha he put on the world, and the third Kedusha is the Kedusha that remains forever. The Medrash teaches us that Tzaddikim are like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why the Rosh Beis Din, he says Mekudesh once. He represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this dialogue. And the audience who represent Klal Yisrael say Mekudesh, Mekudesh two times. Says the Mishnah, as we have been discussing often in our Masechta, the Jewish month could be either 29 or 30 days long. And the Jewish month, when we say could be either 29 or 30 days long, that means Rosh Chodesh of the next month will either be day 30 or day 31 of the previous month. When Rosh Chodesh is on day 30th from the previous month, that's called Nir Bezmanai. That's called when the moon was seen at its proper time. Ben Shalai Nir Bezmanai is when Rosh Chodesh is only declared to be day 31 from the previous month. In both situations, Mekatchanai Soi, Beis Din has to declare when Rosh Chodesh is. However, says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok Omer, Imloi Nir Bezmanai, if Rosh Chodesh is going to be on day 31, there is no necessity, Mekatchanai Soi, there's no necessity to go through this process of procedure of announcing Mekudesh, because as we said, Rosh Chodesh must be day 30. Since Rosh Chodesh must be day 30, day 31, this must be day 30 or day 31. So if it wasn't day 30, it's automatically going to be day 31. If it's automatically going to be day 31, there's no reason to go through the procedure of saying Mekudesh, Mekudesh. The Gemara Masechta Brachos, Daf Lamed Amud Beis teaches us, Amar Avan and Amar Rav, Tov Elai Hiskash Rosh Chodesh Arvis, if Rosh Chodesh was not mentioned by Ma'ariv, Ein Machzir Noisai, we don't have to repeat Yal V'Yavai, Lefi She'ein Mekachem Beis Din Es HaChodesh El B'Yoyim, Kiddush HaChodesh is done only by day. So, the question that the Or Sameach discusses, we understand why if Rosh Chodesh is on day 30, in a month when Rosh Chodesh is on day 30 or 31, why by the night of 30, we shouldn't say, yeah, if one skipped saying Yal V'Yavai, he doesn't have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei? Because even if Adam were to come, we wouldn't have a yeshiva's Beis Din, we wouldn't have Beis Din in session until the day. And therefore, since Ein Mekachem Chodesh El B'Yoyim, so if somebody missed saying Yal V'Yavai by night, we could understand. But as to our Sameach, we just learned in our Gemara, in our Mishnah, that everybody agrees, it's only a question if we have to go through the procedure, but everybody agrees that if Rosh Chodesh wasn't day 30, Rosh Chodesh will be day 31. So if Rosh Chodesh is going to be on day 31, so at the night of day 31, we know that tonight is certainly Rosh Chodesh. So why is the halacha that if you skipped saying Yal V'Yavai that night, you need not repeat the Yal V'Yavai? So he says that the only reason he come up with is that because they didn't want that people should treat the first day Rosh Chodesh different than the second day of Rosh Chodesh, they made a consistent rule that by day, by Shachos and Mincha, if you omitted Yalav Yavoi, you have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. And at night, if you omitted the Yalav Yavoi, you don't have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. But really, our Pisvara, based on what we just learned, the night and day should be treated very differently. Ask the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Besdin says Mekudesh. Ask the Ramanan Emili, how do we know we have to go through this process? Says the Gemara, Amar Chiba Gamda, Amar Yosef Ben Shaul, Amar Rebbe, Amar Kro. The Pasuk says, V'yadavim Moshe's Me'adei Hashem Abnei Yisrael. We learn from here that as Mikan, Rosh Besdin, Omer, the Moshe Rabbeinu said, Eilu Me'adei Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that declared that today is Rosh Chodesh, and everybody else repeated that he has to say Mekudesh. And then we learned further in Amish to call Am Einam Achra Mekudesh Mekudesh. Menolon, from where do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara Amra Papa Mekra. The Pasuk says, Ashatikra Oisam Mekroi Kodesh Eloheim Me'adai. But when we look in the Torah and we look at the spelling of the word Oisam, it doesn't say, it's not spelled Aleph Vav Sof Mem. It's rather spelled Aleph Sof Mem. Why? Krebe Atem. That we, the audience who are standing in the Besdin, have to participate and say Mekudesh Mekudesh. Menachem Yitzchak Amar, Eilehem Me'adai. We learn from that pasuk, Haim, the people who are there, Yoimru should declare Me'adai. Ask the Gemara, but why do they have to say it twice? Mekudesh Mekudesh Trei Zimni Lomeli. Answers the Gemara, Deksiv Mekroi Kodesh. Since the Torah uses the word Mekroye, Loshen Rabim, that's why we learned that the audience has to say Mekroye, Mekudesh, Mekudesh. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok Omer, Emloi Nir Bezmanoi, Emekachin. So if it isn't, if it 31, day 31 is Rish Kodesh, there's no need to go through this procedure. Tanya Plimai Omer, Bezmanoi, if it's day 30, Emekachin Esai. As we learned in the Mishnah, Rish Kodesh is really supposed to be on day 30, because as we've explained many times in our shiurim, the amount of time between the two moilads is 29 and a half days. So really, day 30 should be Rosh Chodesh. And since that's the proper time when Rosh Chodesh ought to be, so then we don't have to go through the procedure, Emekachinai, so we don't have to go through this procedure. However, if it was seen, Shloi Bezmanoi, on day 31, which is not really the day on which Rosh Chodesh ought to be declared, but it's being declared for whatever reason. So then, to show that that truly is Rosh Chodesh, we have to go through the procedure of Mekachin Osai. Rav Shimon Omer, Benkach, Benkach, under all circumstances, a Mekachin Osai, there's no need to go through this procedure. Shinemar, because the Torah, when it speaks about Yovel, says V'kedash Mishnasa Chamishim Shana, that the Yovel year must be declared as the Yovel year. From here, says Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, Shana Matam Kaddish, we declare the Yovel year, V'yatam Kaddish Chadashim, but we don't declare a month. A month becomes Rish Chodesh without going through the entire procedure. However, the Miches Chinuch says that even though Plimai and Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, and even in our Mishnah, there are circumstances that we don't have to go through the procedure, Mekudesh, Mekudesh, of saying that procedure, everybody agrees that Midrabanan, one should go through the procedure of saying Mekudesh, Mekudesh, of Rosh Bezdin saying Mekudesh, and the audience saying Mekudesh, Mekudesh. Om Rabbi Afanan Namitanina. We learn in a Mishnah, Ruah Bezdin of Klal Yisrael, that if Bezdin and everybody in Klal Yisrael saw an entire moon, and of course, the Ritva says it doesn't mean all of Klal Yisrael. What it means is that many people saw the new moon, and since many people saw the new moon, so it's obvious when Rosh Chodesh is. Nechra Edom, or as we just started our shiur today, Edom came and said that they saw the new moon, but we did not have an opportunity to, and we interrogated them, and we saw that the testimony is good. But we didn't have an opportunity to say Mekudesh until day 30 ended. It's already day 31. Hare zem uber, Rosh Chodesh is only on day 31. Mubar in. So we see that we make that day into Rosh Chodesh. But we don't have to go through the procedure of saying Mekudesh. Isn't this, asked the Gemara, clearly a proof to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok that we learned in our Mishnah, that when Rosh Chodesh is on day 31, there's no need to go through the procedure of saying Mekudesh? Says the Gemara, the Mishnah that tells this halacha, Salkadat Chamina, the Mishnah is teaching us another halacha. Since it's a situation that so many people saw the new moon, Ifarsima, and everybody knows that the new moon was already sighted on day 30. And maybe under those circumstances, Loila Brua, we should have never have a right to only declare Rosh Chodesh on day 31. It would be a zilzal, it'll be a degradation, a bezdin, that everybody saw the new moon on day 30, and they're only declaring Rosh Chodesh on day 31. Maybe that's something that we shouldn't let happen. Kamash Milan, that it's up to, as we're going to learn, I have learned, it's completely up to Bezdin's decision, and a Bezdin decides, for whatever reason, whatever the circumstances are, that Rosh Chodesh should only be declared on day 31. That is the halacha. The Mishnah continues to teach us to how the interrogation of the Edom took place. Says the Mishnah, the Mus Tzura Silvana, models of the moon, Hoylel Rabbi Gamliel Batavla. Rabbi Gamliel had different models of the moon, or because on a board, or because on the wall of Beliasai of his attic, Shebehen Maris Ajaitus. If Edom came to say that they saw the new moon, but they were not individuals who were really experts in astronomy, so he would take out these models and to show them, like that, they would be able to determine what they saw, and based on what they would say, Rabbi Gamliel could determine if their eidus should be accepted or not. Ask the Gemara, or Mishari, are such models allowed to be made? V'ksiv, the pasuk says, loisasen iti, loisasa k'demusha moshai. One is not allowed to make a model of something that's in the sky, the sun, the moon. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaye lo asur Torah el shemoshim she'ef shalasosu k'moysam. Only when you can make something, a model that's true to size. K'tanya, loisasa adam bayis k'tavnes heichel. One should make a home with the same dimensions the way the Beis HaMikdash was built. Echsadra, we know there was a foyer leading into the Beis HaMikdash. So you shouldn't build a foyer like the foyer of the Beis HaMikdash. Tavnas Ulam, there was the Ulam of the Beis HaMikdash. Don't make an Ulam like that, like there was in the Beis HaMikdash. Chotzu Keneged Azara, don't make a yard like there was in the Azara. Shulchan Keneged Shulchan, don't make a Shulchan at home like there was a Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash. Menaira Keneged Menaira, don't make a Menaira like there was a Menaira in the Beis HaMikdash. Aval Isa, the halacha is that you are allowed to make a menorah of chamesha, five candles, the shisha, or six candles, shishmona neres, because shel shiva lo yasa, but don't make a menorah out of seven. So the question is, if you can make six candles, you should certainly be allowed to make five. So what does the Bryce have to say you can make five? So the Rosh Hashanah says that we would think that perhaps five is worse than six, because seven is the number that we're learning is Osir. Seven is an odd number. And the way you make a menorah, as we know the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was made, was three and three and one in the middle. So when you're going to have a menorah of six candles, it's going to be even, not three, two. Only when you have a menorah of odd numbers, of an odd number, is it maybe more similar to seven. So therefore teaches us the Braisa, that not only is a menorah which has six candles, which is so obviously different than the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash we're allowed to make, because it's six and it's an even number, but even seven, even five, which is an odd number, and therefore has real similarity in a way to the seven candle menorah that they had in the Beis HaMikdash, teaches us the Braisa, since it's not seven, it's permitted. And even if the menorah was made out of different metals, we know the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was made out of gold, but even if you made the menorah that you have at home, a seven-candle menorah, out of a different type of metal, it's still possible. Why? And Rabbi Yossi takes it a step further. Rabbi Yossi Yehuda Omer, Avshal Eitz Lo Yasa, you shouldn't even make a menorah with seven candles out of wood. After the Chashmonaim prevailed over the Yevonim, and the menorah that they had in the Beis HaMikdash had become Tamei, and at that point, Klal Yisrael were very poor, so they couldn't afford to make a wood menorah, a metal menorah, they made a wood menorah. Why did they make a wood menorah? Explained the Rishonim. Yes, they couldn't afford gold, but they could have used a different metal. Why did they specifically use wood? So the Rishonim explained that metal is mekabel tuma. Wood is much more complicated to be mekabel tuma. We know that wood is only mekabel tuma when it has a receptacle. So if they weren't going to make a menorah out of gold, they preferred to make a menorah out of wood, especially at the time that they were living, where there was so much tumah. We know all the oil got tumah, and they preferred to use wood, which is less susceptible to tumah. Amalei, so we see that a wood menorah is acceptable, and since a wood menorah is acceptable, we shouldn't have a seven-candle menorah even out of wood. Amalei lecham se misham raya, your raya is not correct. Shvudim shel bazel hayu. They really made a menorah then too out of metal. But what happened was v'chirpim batz. They coated it with an expensive wood. Heshirut asom shel kesem. When they got wealthier, they made it out of silver. Chazur v'shiru. And when they got even wealthier, they made it asom shel zav. They made it out of gold. So here we learned the halacha that you're not allowed to have a seven candle menorah. The question is, what's going to be the halacha if you have a menorah that is made, that's a seven candle menorah, but it's not in a straight line, it's made in a circle. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was a straight line. This menorah is not similar to the menorah that was in the Beis HaMikdash. What would be the halacha? So the Pesachei Tshuva discusses the Shailin Yerideya, Simon Kuf Mem Aleph, and the Simon Kuf Mem Aleph said, and he says that Tzivav, and he says that one shouldn't make a menorah that's made out of seven candles, even if it's in a circle, not in a straight line. Ask the Gemara, v'shamosh and she'ef shel rasus k'moysu mishari. So we're learning now that you're not, that under certain circumstances you may make a model, like in certain circumstances you may not. Ask the Gemara, v'shamoshim she'ef shel rasus k'moysu mishari. If it's just something that we can't make exactly, is it permitted? V'tanya l'sasin iti. The pasuk says l'sasin iti, and the Brisa teaches us l'sasin k'demus shamoshim v'shamshim l'fanei b'morim. That we're not allowed to make anything that's similar to what is in Shemayim. Even though, of course, we can't make an exact model of the sun and the moon. This is a special rule that the pasuk speaks about the four faces that are in the Markova. The four faces are an axe, a person, a lion, and an eagle. And the Torah says, the halacha says there's a special rule that we're not allowed to make something that has a combination of those faces. But anything else is not a problem. Elamata says the Gemara, if that's the case, that it's only when you have these four faces combined that's what we have by the Kisei HaKovid that we're most concerned. Elamata Patsa Adam L'chudei Tishtrei. Then if you have just the face of a person, it should be mutter. But ask the Gemara, Allah Matanya, but haven't we learned in the Braisa? Kol HaPatsufis Mutarim Chutz MiParatsuf Adam. You're not allowed to make ever the face of a person. Amar Rav Huna Berei the Ravidi Meperkin, the Bai Shmili. I learned from Abaya that the reason you're never allowed to make a face of a person, loisasin itin, loisasin oisi. We're not allowed to imitate, not allowed to make the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, of course, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu ain't a guf, loisigu masige a guf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a face. What we understand as the way a person looks doesn't apply to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what's Pshat that we're saying, loisasin iti, we're making the face of a person, we're imitating a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the answer is, we know that the pasuk says that the person was created, but the mus, b'tzalmai of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, b'tzalam alakim, osas adam. So since we were created in the image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even though it's just something that is not something that we have to try to understand, it's not to be taken literal, but since that's the way the Torah describes the way we're created, we're not allowed to make the face of a person. Ask the Gemara, Mishashim Mishari. So the way we're learning now, there's a special rule regarding the face of a person, and there's a special rule regarding the four images that are on the Kisei HaKavod. Everything else we're learning now is presumably permitted. But ask the Gemara, is that true? V'shasha moshem yishari, are other images mutter? V'tanya, doesn't the Braisa say, loisasen eaten? Loisasen kedemusha moshai ha-mishamshin l'fonim b'morim? Don't make anything that looks like what is in the sky. Kigon ha-fanim, b'srofim, v'chayis ha-koydish, o'mlachi ha-shoros. So we see that we're not allowed to make that, even though that they don't have the two conditions we just met. Amr Abaya answered the Gemara, Le'os, Ela, Shamash, Shemadar, Helion. There are seven Rikiyim, seven skies, and what's in the ultimate sky, that we're never allowed to make. But anything else, if we're allowed to make. Ask the Gemara, that's not in the Shemadar Shvi. Ask the Gemara, is that true? V'shabadar, Madar, Atachta, Mishari, V'tanya, the pasuk says, Le'os, Lecha, Pesva, Kol, Tamuno, Asher, B'shmayim, Imal, V'sharot, V'tachas, V'shabemayim, Mitachas Loretz, Asher B'Shemayim, says the Braisa, comes to teach us, L'Rabbis Chama, L'Von, V'Kechov, V'Mazolus, we can't make anything like the sun, the moon, or any of the stars, or any of the constellations, B'Mal, L'Rabbis Malachi Asharis, so we see that we can't even make what's not in the uppermost Shemayim, and says, Gemara Ki Tanya Hi, L'Ovdom. What the pasuk over there is referring to, that we're not allowed to make anything that we're going to turn into Avodah Zorah. Ask the Gemara if the intent of the manufacturing is that they should be like Avodah Zorah, Ila of them, if that's the purpose, I feel Shilshul Katim Nami. It should be, you not even make a small worm. If the purpose of manufacturing, of sculpting it, is that it should be used as Avodah Zorah, that's Asur, says the Gemara Enechanami. Anything that's being made for the purpose of Avodah Zorah is also the Tanya Vasheba Arts, the Rabbis Haram Gvois, Yam and the Rois, Afikim, where water comes out, the Negeos are valleys, Mitachas, the Rabbis Shushakotin. For the purpose of Avodah Zorah is also. So we're learning now that anything that looks like a person, anything like the four images, anything that's in the highest Shemayim are prohibited. Anything else is permitted as long as it wasn't made for Avodah Zorah, but it was made for the purpose of worship, then anything, of course, is also. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Vesira Gredesha Mishari, are we allowed to manufacture other things if we're not doing it for Avodah Zorah purposes? V'tanya Lysasin Eaton, Lysasin Kedemusha Moshe Mishan Shonel Fonai, Kigon Chamel Avonu Kachovim Mazolos. Under all circumstances, they may not be made. So we're back to our question, how could Rav Gamliel made the model of the moon? Answers the Gemara, Shani Rav Gamliel Dacher Masoloi. He didn't make it himself. Somebody else made it for him. The Nochrim made it on his behalf. And if it was made by Nochrim on the other behalf, then it's mutter. And there's a machlokes rishonim how to understand this Gemara. The way Tosus, the very maskul Shani, explains the Gemara, was Rav Gamliel asked the Nochrim to make it. And why was he allowed to ask the Nochrim to make it? Because it was being made for the purpose of mitzvah that Rav Gamliel, as we learned in the Mishnah, should know how to properly interrogate the witnesses that come to say the new moon. The Ritva says, we're never allowed to ask Nochrim to make these type of sculptures for us. What the Gemara means that it was made on behalf of Gamliel was that the Nochrim made it without him requesting. Once they made it without him requesting, that's why it was mutter. Ask the Gemara, Va Rabbi Yehuda Dacher Masala, there was once a situation where Nochrim made on behalf of Rabbi Yehuda an engraving on his ring. Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, and Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinana. Throughout Shas, we find Shmuel calling Rabbi Yehuda Shinana. The Pasha Pshat is because he was very sharp. He was a very sharp individual, a very sharp Talmid Chacham. Others say he was called Shinana because he had sharp teeth. Summer end of the day, damage it, that it shouldn't look like, that you shouldn't have this type of an image. So we see that even though it was made on his behalf by Nochrim, he wasn't allowed to keep it whole. Answers the Gemara, Chosam Chosman Boiler Hava. There was another issue. The engraving protruded. And people should not come to think that he was worshipping it as an Avodah Zarah. To avoid that type of a chshad, type of people thinking, that's why Shmuel said, even though you didn't make it yourself, ruin it, destroy it somewhat. Tanya, as the Brisa teaches us, Tabas, if you have a ring, Chos may boil it, where its engraving protrudes, Osla Nicha, you may not keep it because people shouldn't come to accuse you of worshipping Avodah Zarah. Or Mutar Lachnabar. The way they used to sign was they would stick the ring into a tablet of wax. But when you're going to stick it into a tablet of wax, when the engraving protrudes, it's going to be recessed and therefore it won't look like an image. On the other hand, if the Chos Meshakeya, if the image on the ring is recessed, mutala nicha, you can wear it because nobody worshipped something that wasn't, that didn't have some sort of independent body to it. But I also lacked them by, because if you're going to use it for signing, you're going to have a raised image, and a raised image, as we're learning, is also. Ask the Gemara, or micha shinal chashada. So now we're learning that technically he was allowed to keep the ring. The reason Shmuel told him to damage it is that people shouldn't come to accuse him that he's using it for Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, are we concerned about such a situation? Ask the Gemara, who Beit Knishta, there was a shul, the Shof V'Yosef. It was in a place called Shof V'Yosef. There's two pshatim. Rashi says that it was in the city that was called Shof V'Yosef. Others say that it was the shul itself was called Shof V'Yosef. And the reason why it was called Shof V'Yosef is because when Yechonya, Melech Yehuda, went to Golas and Bavel, he took along stones from Yerushalayim to build this. And the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kirotz Avadecha Es Avaneha. These were the stones that came from Yerushalayim, maybe from the Beis HaMikdash, from the Kaisel, and they were brought and they were built Al Tanai. That when Mashiach comes from Herav Yemenu, they're going to return those stones back to Yerushalayim. And that's why it's called Shof, they were taken to Yosef. Of course, the question is, how were they permitted to take those stones to use it for their purpose? So the Masham says that, the Pasuk says, Ubo Pritzim V'Chalalua, the Beis HaMikdash, it was desecrated. It lost its Kedusha. Since it's lost its Kedusha, you could take the stones. Others say, I saw that the Shaar Tshuva quotes Rav Haigoin that when Klai Yisrael went to Golus Bavel, the Shechina went along with them to Bavel. And therefore, since the Shechina went along with them to Bavel, they were allowed to take those stones with them. Says the Gemara back, there was a image of the king. All these great individuals were davening that shul, and they weren't concerned that people are going to say that they're bowing down to this image. And says the Gemara, Rabbi Mishani, even though we have a concern, but we're never concerned that entire tzibur, especially when the tzibur is made up of such great individuals, are worshipping an Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, so that we could understand. But we go back to our sugya and our Mishnah. Rav Gamliel Yacharu. Rav Gamliel was just one individual. So how could he have an image? Answers the Gemara. Kivin the Nasi, since he was the Nasi, Shchich Rabim Gabei, there were always many people, so it's considered a situation of a Rabim. Ibai Seima, another Teretz, the Parakim Hava. The images that Rav Gamliel had were made out of parts. The issa to make a sculpture is when it's one big piece, but when it's in parts, it's not a problem. Vibay same laslamet of it. The reason he made them, as we've been learning, was that they should be able to be used for teaching purposes to know when the new moon is considered a new moon, and the Adam should be accepted, the Adam shouldn't be accepted. And says, the Pasuk says, L'sumad lasas k'tarevis ha'goyim ha'heim. So says the Gemara, the Pasuk is teaching us, you can't make them that they can eventually be used as an Avodah Zarah, or to be used to follow their ways. Avalat Lamed, they can be manufactured with the purpose, love and lahiris, to teach us what is the halacha, how to pass in a shayla. So now, of course, the question is, are we allowed to have an image of a person. The question particularly comes up, the Shas HaTshuvas pre-Asada discussions, are we allowed to have a doll? Is somebody allowed to have a doll in his home? And he says, since it's a doll and it's something that's used to play with, and it's obviously not something that has a lot of significance, so since it's not considered something significant, and it's obvious that it's not, that that's what it's used for, there's no iser. However, there were those that were machmer not to manufacture dolls, only to buy a doll. And there were those that even were more machmer, that if they would buy a doll, they would do some damage. It should not be complete, because there's a concern, as we've been learning in Gemara, of Isasin Iti. All of these concepts that we're discussing is when you're making a sculpture, when you're making a model. But a picture, the Shulchan Aruch says, is permitted. But even though a picture is permitted, the Mabet says that one should not have paintings or pictures in a shul of the sun, the moon, that nobody should come to Chas V'Shalom think that we're worshiping the sun or the moon. And actually the Magen Avraham says that we shouldn't have any pictures on the walls of a shul unless they're so far up on the height of the wall that it's obvious that when people are davening, they're not facing those pictures directly with their eyesight. They have to look up, and they won't be accused that they're worshiping anybody else besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech Malchei HaMelachim.